Morning, everyone. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah, I'm really excited to be here and be able to deliver God's word this morning. And it is a beautiful day out there. It's a little bit chilly. That white snow looks nice to me, and it's just beautiful out there today. I did notice before I get started that it might be a little bit of an error in the bulletin. It was talking about the chilly carry-in was another big success, except for the outcome of the game. But I thought that the outcome of the game was just fine. It was just what I expected, and I told everyone when I was leaving at halftime I didn't want to see them cry, so that's why I was leaving. And then my wife wouldn't let me buy a Saints tie to wear today, so. But I am glad to be here today. So will you bow your head and pray with me? God, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to come together in your house this morning. And I thank you for each person that's here today. And I ask that you just bestow upon each one a blessing today. And I ask that you meet each of our needs, whether they be spiritual or physical, emotional, whatever need. I ask that you just reach your healing hand down upon us this morning and touch each person. I ask that you be with us this morning as we study your word. Just and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Make our hearts receptive to what you have to say this morning. And let me only speak what you would have to say this morning. I ask that you be with the people who couldn't be here this morning. If it's due to illness, I ask that you heal them. If it's due to hardness of heart, I ask that you convict them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, it is Valentine's Day today, so I thought it was appropriate to preach about God's love today. Not too long ago, my wife and I were watching a movie. We belong to Netflix, and sometimes she just picks stuff off of there. And sometimes we have to turn it off real quick once we turn it on, and sometimes it's pleasantly surprising. And here not too long ago, we got a movie, and it was called Joshua. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen it, but it's made by the same people who made the, now I'm going to forget it. What is it? Fireproof? Has everybody seen Fireproof? It's a Christian movie, and it talks about marriage. If you haven't seen it, it is excellent. Now, you might not want to watch it in a group if you don't like crying in front of people, because it will bring some tears to your eyes. But it's an excellent, excellent movie. Well, the same people have made a couple other movies that we've seen. Maybe they've made more, but one of them's called Joshua, and it was about Christ coming back to earth. And it wasn't really about the second coming, but the guy who was there turned out to be Christ in the end. And he was talking to one of the priests at the local church, and that priest was, you know, fear God, and God's going to destroy us all, and if you sin, you're going to pay, and rah, rah, rah. And the guy who was Jesus in the show said, you know, was talking to him, and the priest said, well, haven't you read God's word? And he said, yeah, I always thought it was a love story. And I thought about that, and it really, really is. So even if you didn't get a Valentine from somebody today, a card, I'm going to give you a Valentine. It's right here. It's a love note from God, because he does love every one of us. Yes, we will pay for our sins. We will be disciplined if we continue to sin, even after being saved. But God loves us, and the Bible really is a love story from him. So I wanted to follow along with one of the things Brother Mike does sometimes, and I made an acrostic today out of the word love. And some of the letters, I was having a tough time. I was like, well, how about this one? But I did come up with one, and it might be a little bit different. I think it's original, because I looked up some, and nobody had the same one. But for L, long-suffering. God's love is long-suffering. So I wanted to give a definition of long-suffering. It's bearing injuries or provocation for a long time. Patient. Not easily provoked. You know, God is long-suffering. In Exodus 34:6, and Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You know, thank goodness that God is long-suffering with me, because I mess up a lot. I forget where I am and start depending on myself and stop looking to God. And fortunately, he is long-suffering. His love is long-suffering with me and everyone else. Guess what? I'm not special. I'm no more special than any of you guys are when it comes to God or anything else for that matter. But God loves all of us. He knows what my sins are. He knows the ones that you guys don't know about. He knows my failures. He knows when I'm not listening. He knows I'm not perfect. He knows I'm going to mess up again next week. But his love is long-suffering. He's going to love me anyways. He's going to be patient with me. Fortunately, for a long time. For the O, God's love is obvious. And that may seem like a kind of a strange word. And to me, it's obvious. I know sometimes people think God's love isn't obvious. But in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims his handiwork. You know, have you ever been to a place where you're looking around and you go, look how beautiful this is. Look what God made for us to enjoy. I was thinking that. I don't know if I'm going to put these guys on the spot. Can you bring that background picture up again that you had up this morning? I started to get the guys some pictures. I've been working in Colorado for the past 2 weeks, so I get home, visit with my family a little bit, and fly back out. So it's been kind of crazy. But when I walk out of my office, and I could look out to the west, and there's the mountains. And I haven't seen mountains for a long time. I look and I say, look how beautiful this is. And I was looking at this picture this morning. I haven't been up in the mountains yet, but I can just imagine this is what it's looking like right now. And some people would have you believe that this accidentally came into being. I think this is part of the obviousness of God's love. Look at that beautiful snow. Look at the sun sparkling. I know we don't like shoveling snow. Some of you don't think it's beautiful, but that's beautiful snow. And I don't have to shovel it either. You know, look at the trees. Whenever that snow just sticks perfect on the trees and it looks like a Christmas tree and we was real careful and sprayed the stuff on to make it real pretty. You know, that's what it looks like. Thank you, guys. But I think God's love is obvious. Now, it may be hard to see around here. We've got a lot of houses. We've got things in the way. And plus, we live here, so we get tired of living here. It ain't pretty here. I don't like living here. Guess what? Everybody that lives somewhere, that's what they usually say after a while. I don't like it here. There's nothing to do. You know? But try that. And you don't have to go to Colorado to see it. Go out somewhere and just walk through the woods. And look at what God has made. And look at the beauty that he's given to us. It's not an accident. We didn't have a big bang. And we had some slime. And the slime got smarter. And the slime crawled up and got some legs. We didn't have any of that. You know, in our Sunday school class, we talked about this, I believe, last week. How many of you know Henry Ford? You met him before? The guy that invented the automobile? How many of you believe that Henry Ford invented the automobile? I believe that, but I don't know it. I believe it because I read it in a book, you know, but the evolutionists would have us believe that we accidentally came into being. Well, I think it'd be easier for a car to accidentally come into being than for us to come into being. I mean, look how complex our bodies are. You know, when I look at a computer network, I do computer work. When I look at a computer network, and from what I know about networks, I don't know how they work. They shouldn't, because it's so easy to mess them up. So during the day, I'm like, I don't know how that thing works. You know, only one computer can talk on a network at a time. If two talk at the same time, the network breaks, and it shuts down until it gets rid of that. It's called crosstalk. Okay? Our bodies are much, much more complex than that. So I don't know how that works. So it's easier for me to believe that that car crawled out of the slime than that we did. So to me, it's obvious that God loves us because of all the beauty that we see around us. The V, of course, is victorious. God's love is victorious. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. But late in the week, and I'm sure this is a very familiar story for you guys, but late in the week, at the dawning into the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, a great earthquake occurred, for coming down from heaven and coming up, an angel of the Lord rolled back the stone from the door and was sitting at it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And the keepers shook for fear of him and came like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." He was victorious over death. He came here and told us, "I am going to die for all man's sins. I am going to be the sacrifice so that you can have eternal life in heaven. And I'm going to die and rise again on the third day. I'm going to be victorious over death." And he kept his word. He rose on that third day. He loves us so much that he was victorious over death. Yeah, he didn't do that because it was fun. Can you imagine? We've talked about this a lot. Could you imagine if, let's say, like six armed guys came in here right now and told you they're going to kill you, and you had the power to stop them easily? You'd do it, wouldn't you? I would. I'd stop them. You think Jesus couldn't have come off that cross? He couldn't have called down a battalion of angels to stop what was happening? You know, Renee gave me a really cool story that I'm going to read to you here in a little bit out of her study Bible that talks about that. But he was victorious. He knew. He loved us so much that he was willing to come and die and then be victorious over that death, rise again to show the resurrection that we're going to have. It's available to us. Not because of anything I did. The only thing I did to be able to accept that is to accept that gift that he gave me. But he loved me that much. He loves you that much. He loves everyone that much that he's willing to extend that gift out to us. The E in love. His love is everlasting. You know, I can't fathom everlasting. I don't understand eternity. I'm a whopping 44 years old, you know. So eternity, I was reading a little story and it was talking about eternity and it said, if we had a steel ball that was as big as the earth, I think it said it was like 25,000 miles in circumference. Anybody agree? I don't remember. A few people are nodding their heads. So we've got this steel ball as big as earth. It's 25,000 miles in circumference. Every million years, we're going to let the sparrow out of its cage, and it's going to go sharpen its beak a little bit on the ball. And then it's going to get back in its cage. And a million years later, we're going to let it out, and it's going to sharpen its beak on the ball. By the time that ball is the size of a BB, eternity has just begun. You know, I can't fathom eternity. But that's how long his love is. It's everlasting. It's forever. In Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending," says the Lord, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. My God is not going to die. My God is not going to go away. My God always was. My God always will be." You know, I can only understand us living 70 years, 80 years. Every once in a while, somebody lives 100 years. Wow, man, they lived a long time. But that's nothing. That's that long. God is everlasting. His love is everlasting. You know? And I think we have trouble understanding that. We don't understand, because we can't love like that without God being in us. I might say I love you, and as soon as you make me mad, I don't love you no more. You know, God's not like that. He is not like that. Fortunately, He understands that I'm going to fail. He understands that I'm going to mess up, and He's willing to forgive me. One of the things that helps me visualize God's love and God's grace is He's a father and I'm a child, but His love for me is perfect. I have 3 kids and my love for them is not perfect. And I love them a lot more than I love you. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's just the truth. But my love's not perfect for them. So every once in a while I get on to them for something I shouldn't get on to them for. Or I yell at them when I shouldn't have yelled at them. You know, God doesn't do that. His love's perfect. It's perfect. It's everlasting. In John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That's Jesus. That's what you're talking about there. And I already said, He always was. He always is. He always will be. He's not going to go away. He's not going to leave us. You know, we worry about people leaving us. I don't want to make too good friends with you because I might not be here too much longer. It's going to hurt whenever we separate. That's not God. He's not going to leave us. Ever. We might slip away. But I can just see in my mind's eye, when I slip away, I see God going, "Come on, Jimmy, just reach out. I'm right here." He's always got His hand out to me. His hand's always extended to me. Same for you. Talking about love here on Valentine's Day, you know, God loves you. He loves all of us. Psalms 41:2. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know, you might think, if you know some of the story of David, well, you know, David was really special, so God listened to him. Did David ever mess up? He messed up a lot. Yeah. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand, but probably none of us in here have killed anybody, you know, murder. There may be some military people that have fought before, but I'm talking about just murder. David did that. David committed adultery. David coveted. David lied. David abused the authority that God gave him. So guess what? David wasn't any different than us. David had problems too. But we see that God loved him anyways. And I'm telling you that God loves you too. Anyways. Yeah. If it wasn't for that, He wouldn't love me. I've messed up a lot. I probably messed up last week. I'll probably mess up next week. But He loves me. Despite that. I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of people I talk to think that they're not good enough for God's love. And I think that's where we see a lot of this work stuff. Matter of fact, I shared with Sunday school class this morning. Friday night I was flying back and I had to fly through Chicago O'Hare. I was like, no. Don't book me in Chicago, please. I don't book my own flights, the company does. Well, I had to go through Chicago. The flight from Denver was an hour late. Get to Chicago. I'm on a 777, and I was in the furthest seat from the door. The door was front left of the plane. I was in the last seat, sitting against the window in the back right of the plane. Didn't have hardly any time to get to my gate. And they said, "Hey, you know, people, if you've got 45 minutes or more for your next connection, just stay seated because we got people who are probably going to miss their flights." I don't think anybody heard that except me. Because everybody stood up and started getting their stuff. And I knew for sure the people right in front of me had a good delay because they were going to Amsterdam. So I just sat there and waited and got off the plane, ran to my gate. Ah, the plane's still there. It's still there. I can see it. Can I get on the plane? Nope. It's right there. Nope. Okay, I'm going to throw you through the window and then I'm going to get on the plane. That's what I wanted to do. That's what Jimmy wanted to do. But and Renee called me and she had to listen to me griping. So I got off the phone with her real quick because I was mad. And the plane sat there 20 or 30 more minutes, didn't leave. So Jimmy, calm down. It's not the end of the world. What's God doing? So I went and stood in the line with about 70 people to try to get a flight out of there. And I heard him say a number, and I've got a cell phone, so called. I hadn't made it 20 feet in the line and already had a ticket. But guess what? As soon as I could get out, was Saturday morning. So I only get to see my family on the weekend. I thought I was going to be home early and spend a little bit of time with them Friday evening. So I'm like, I really want to go. I'll rent a car. The guy behind me is going to Fort Wayne. He's on the phone. Hey, check to see what it costs to rent a car. So I turn around. I was like, you want to rent a car? You want to split it? He said, yep. So I figured three people could fit in a car with our luggage pretty easily. So I just yelled out, anybody want to drive to Fort Wayne, split a car? And the guy pointed to a gentleman that was sitting down. And I went over and said, you want to split a car with us? We're driving to Fort Wayne. And he looked at me funny. And I said, we're driving to Fort Wayne. You want to go or what? Because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get out of here. I've got a ride now. He said, yes, I'll go with you. So we rented a car. And, you know, my circumstance was now I'm going to be home late. My circumstance was the airline made me mad because it was their fault that I was late. And they wouldn't hold the plane. So circumstance bad, but I do what I tell you to do in the Sunday school class sometimes, guys. I listened and watched for to see where God was at work. And before the trip was over, I got to give my testimony to both of the guys in the car. And the guy in the back seat asked me. He said, you said something about testimony earlier. What's your testimony? So I didn't just blurt it out. Hey, you're stuck in the car, so I'm going to tell you what my testimony is. He asked. Now, the guy in the front seat didn't ask, but he heard it anyways. He couldn't get out. I was going 75 miles an hour down the toll road. But, you know, there was an opportunity to work for God, you know, and we have to watch for those because He loves us and He wants to be there with us. He wants to interact with us. He wants to share things with us. If you've ever got to witness to someone and see them come to a saving knowledge, that is such a blessing. It really is. If you've never done that, let's get that done. Because it's such a blessing to know that you got to share with someone and pray with them and know that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. That God used you to do that. You didn't do it. You didn't make them get saved. You didn't cause them to get saved. You just got to be there and share with that. And it's such a blessing. But we think that we're not good enough for His love. You know, I've shared a lot with people, and I've heard them say that. They think that, well, I've got to make up with works, or after I live a good life for this many years, then maybe I'm good enough. But I don't see that anywhere in this love note that God sent to us called the Bible. I don't see that anywhere in there. Does God say we're going to do works? Yes. But if you look in Ephesians, those works are already planned. So I'm not planning anything. I've messed up and done that before. But I don't need to plan these works. God's already got them there for me. After I accept salvation, I'm obedient to Him, then those good works are going to happen because I'm being obedient. I'm listening to Him. In Ephesians 1:4-6, according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, in which He has made us accepted in the one having been loved. That's for all of us. I'm not good enough for God's love. Okay. If you measure it by the world's view, yeah. But not according to what God says. God says, I'm good enough for His love. God says, you're good enough for His love. And He loves every one of us. So if you're sitting there thinking, I'm not good enough, I need to do this, this, and this first, that's Satan telling you that. Because that's not what God's Word says. I just read to you. According as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, before this world was built, God chose me. Before this world was built, God chose you. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Because He sent Christ for us. You're right. I'm not good enough. But there's a problem when you say that, because Christ is good enough. And that is why I can come before God holy. Because of His Son who died for my sins. Because He loved you that much. He loved me that much. So that we could come before Him. I was thinking about this the other day. And I want you to think about this. Don't let it just fly through your brain. I want you to really think about this. The only thing that can keep you from God is you. Not what you did. Not what you said. Just you. That's the only thing that can keep you from God. Because I promise you, what I said earlier is true. God's standing there saying, Jimmy, take my hand. He's reaching out to each one of us. The only thing that's going to stop us is if I won't reach up to Him. It's the only thing that can stop us. I want to read this story. Renee uses a study Bible. It's Life Principles, Charles Stanley. And it has some life examples in it. It has some thoughts in there that Charles Stanley puts in there. And she showed me this morning. She said, because she knew what I was going to preach about. And she said, I think this is really appropriate. And I agree. It's going to be talking about Matthew 27:12. And it's titled, In His Thoughts. There's no doubt that as Jesus stood trial in front of Pilate, He was completely focused. Matthew 27:12 tells us, while He was being accused by the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Think about that. As the false accusations were being flung at Him, the Son of God didn't call a battalion of angels to His aid. He didn't curse the priests and elders as He had the fig tree that didn't bear fruit. He did not do anything to defend Himself. He answered nothing. Hebrews 12:2 helps us understand Christ's mindset. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, He didn't just die on that cross. He took on all of our sins. You know how when you sin, you feel that embarrassment, you feel that shame? Jesus took all of those sins onto Himself. And He had never sinned. So if I lie to you tomorrow, I can kind of tell myself, well, I lied before. I got 100 of them behind me. Jesus had never felt that shame before. Never knew that shame of disappointing God. And He took all of it upon Himself. Yet what was this overwhelming joy? Of course it was doing the Father's will. However, it was also you. Ephesians 5:2 admonishes, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, what? I mean, it didn't get any better than that. He gave Himself for me. Christ's joy was you. Think about that as you celebrate St. Valentine's Day. Love is not simply red hearts, bouquets of flowers, and chocolates. True love is unconditional. True love reaches out. True love gives itself sacrificially. Perhaps you have a special loved one with which to celebrate today. Or perhaps today is one of the loneliest days of the year for you. Perhaps you are wondering if anyone is thinking about you. The answer is yes. Jesus is. He's thinking about you today, and he thought about you back then when he was dying on the cross. He thought about you as he stood trial, and his love for you kept him focused on the goal to reconcile you to God, to show you his love eternally. So today, remember that you're Christ's joy, his beloved, and have a very happy Valentine's Day. If you are stopping yourself from experiencing God's love, we're about to go ahead and have the invitation. I want to invite you to come up. You don't have to talk to me. You can come right here on this altar and pray and say, God, I'm reaching out. I am reaching for the hand that you're extending to me. I want to feel your love. Even if you're already a Christian and you haven't felt God's love in a while, come up here and pray. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. I guarantee you there'll be five people out there that start praying with you. Some of them are going to come up and put their arm around you and pray with you, because that's what we should do. We're supposed to have Christ's love for each other. Not go, ha, Jimmy's up there praying. He must have done something wrong last. I've had that happen before. Is everything okay? Yeah, I wanted to go up there and pray. I wanted to pour my heart out to God before his people. I'm not embarrassed about that. So I'm going to invite you to come up and pray. If you want to talk with me about something, that's fine. If you want to grab somebody's hand and come up and pray, do that. But I want to open that invitation now to all of you.